The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valenti and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you got through this rush hour without any weather issues unless you were affected by the cold. I mean, the mid-20s, obviously. But what we've seen up north, Paul, with lake effect has been stunning in some cases. And yesterday, we checked in with Kent Urbanski, who has been with WJET-TV for 36 years. He's a Pittsburgh native. He joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Kent, how are you this morning?
Good, Larry. How's it going down there?
Well, We're anticipating somewhat of a storm, but it is very minor compared to what you all have dealt with. Where do you stand right now with snow totals in Erie?
Well, it all depends on where you're at. There are some places in Erie that have 2 foot. There are some places in Erie that have 4 foot. So yesterday, after we spoke, I was expecting there to be another front that was going to come in. And it did in the afternoon, but only laying a couple of extra inches, and that was done and over with by 7 o'clock. So, like I said, some places 2, some 4, and you know, and then you have to factor in the wind and the drifts, and that almost makes it seem like it's more than that.
Kent, this seems to me a little bit like what you hear happening in Buffalo, where perhaps in Buffalo City itself they might get a foot of snow, but in Orchard Park, 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, so to, you know, put that into perspective, like this is all lake effect snow. So Erie is just getting hammered. South of us, down to Edinburgh, maybe 10 inches to a foot. Meadville, nothing, maybe a dusting in. But that's all going to change tonight. So overnight, from what I'm hearing, another front is going to come in. It's going to dump maybe another 10 inches to a foot, maybe in the city of Erie, but they're going to see 10 to 20 down in the Edinburgh area south of us.
Yeah, there's just enough of a wind shift to bring that relatively warmer lake water moisture. And then with
correct,
the Arctic air, it just keeps feeding it. And this way, we're going to get it. Here in Pittsburgh, we're only anticipating right now into the morning rush tomorrow, maybe an inch or two, but then to the north, your direction near I-80 in particular, and then east and southeast, a lot more snow.
Right, right. You know, and you hit the nail on the head there. Like yesterday, it warmed up a little bit, so it allowed the streets to clear up a little bit, especially the main roads. But then when the weather turned, the temperature got a little colder overnight. When I walked out this morning to take the dog out, I noticed there was a lot of ice on the road, so it was rather slippery. So a lot of schools remain closed, a lot of businesses remain closed up here due to that reason right there, and primarily because the secondary roads they're still having a hard time getting to those, and so a lot of the county schools, and I know the in particular some of the Erie inner city schools are closed still.
Kent, it sounds to me like things are going to be paralyzed up there until at least Friday.
Yeah, that appears to be the case, and especially like travel There was some major accidents and pileups on I-90 last night. Delay in travel heading east on I-90, and hopefully people use caution on 79 heading south or southbound heading north. You got to slow down in those weather conditions. And one of the main things I see is people don't have good tires on their car. And it doesn't matter what you're driving, you're not going anywhere if you don't have good tires.
Yeah, that's a good. I imagine the tire stores are going to be slammed even here. Just the hint of every time we get our first real snow. We haven't had much at all, and our winters have been extraordinarily mild the last few years. You grew up in Pittsburgh, though, right? Where?
Yeah, I grew up in the Glassport area and went to South Allegheny High School.
All right.
So, I'm familiar with the hilly areas down there, which is what really causes the issues when it's bad weather down there.
Yeah, but I have a question. Somebody told me that you do not use road salt in Erie.
At times they do, but it's sort of a kind of a mix, but a lot of it's just basically plowing because the snow is so heavy. They do a pre-treatment of some sort of, it's like a watery mix, or I'm not really sure what the terminology is for it, but yeah, that is correct in some instances, but I have seen salt used.
All right, well, batten down the hatches, more on the way, and thank you, Kent. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. You guys take care down there.
Are you coming down for the Steelers game Sunday? It's going to be like going to Florida for you.
I'll be there. I had to head to Cincinnati, and it took me a good hour just to get out of Erie. I had to head south before I headed west. But once I got out of Erie and down and past the Sagertown Meadville exit, it was clear. It was like night and day.
Right.
And then we just shot over 80 to get to Cincinnati. And, that drive is always nicer coming back after a win, right?
Amen. All right, Ken, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good talking to you, Larry.
Ken Urbanski, WJET Television. 36 years he's been in Erie.
What Kent was saying about the lack of using ice on the roads up there or sparingly at
salt,
at,
you mean?
Yes. I'm thinking about icy roads. Anyway, it sends me back to my growing up days in Montana, where they use gravel and dirt on many roads in the winter.
When we were in Dallas for the Super Bowl quite a while ago, Steelers-Packers, between Fort Worth and Dallas, the roads were treacherous. They had ice storms, and then they had snow, too, all in that week. And they don't use the same stuff. They don't have any salt.
No. What need have they of it, except every few years or so?
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Sam DeMarco, Allegheny County Councilman at Large, and get his take on the budget, which was last night. Allegheny County Council voted 10-5 to pass the revised budget. One of those who voted against it is with us. He is Sam DeMarco, and he has been doing this a long time, almost a decade. Republican Sam DeMarco on the Big K Morning Show. Welcome back, Sam.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me today, buddy.
First and foremost, always appreciate your service as a United States Marine veteran.
Thank you.
We never forget that. All right. So you were against this. Why?
Because I think that the tax increase was in excess of what was necessary. I think what gets lost on a lot of people, Larry, is they're confusing nice to haves with need to haves. Okay. And, when you consider what do we need to have or what are core county functions, and they consist of public safety, which is the police, the sheriff, the courts, the jail, 911 center, things of that nature, public works, in the parks. A lot of these other things are what I would say are nice to haves. And the problem that you have is DHS, the Department of Human Services, is a little bit of out of control. And, currently they're spending, in 2025, they will spend $1,549,000,000. And, they're going to spend this with over 600 different vendors. Now, a lot of these things are nice, and they claim to be helping people. And some of these folks are doing God's work. The problem is the DHS is so large, and there's no process or accountability or anything in place to really measure who's actually delivering on what they're getting paid to do, and what are the positive outcomes that we're getting from that. And we believe that the increase in millage that the administration was asking for, you know, was in excess of what was needed. I mean, we all understood, every member of council understood that there was a structural deficit and that we would need to take and fix it. But we were frustrated by the fact that the administration and the county executive's office never came to us when they first discovered this problem earlier in the year and waited until springing it upon us 6 days before they announced their proposed budget for 2025. That's not the way to work. And when the county council leadership sat down with the administration well over a month ago and told them that there was no way that their original ask of 2.2 million was going to fly, you know, they just basically shrugged it off, said that they had the 10 votes and didn't sit down to really do any type of negotiating. Instead, what they did is, in a cynical move, they went out and told DHS to tell all of their providers and employees that if they didn't get this 2.2% increase, that everybody was going to lose their jobs, that their programs were going to be shut down. So we had, you know, had over 1,200 emails from, you know, folks worried that their senior center was going to go away, or, you know, help for, you know, any myriad number of things was in jeopardy, when, you know, that was never the case. Even in county councils, proposed, you know, 0.135 or 1.35 millage increase, which we were terming an austerity budget, and that was in excess of what I thought was necessary. But even in that, you know, DHS was still going to be spending $1,529 million. And so for folks to act, you know, like county council was being irresponsible or was jeopardizing jobs and things of this nature, we sat down and we looked at every single department in the county. We made sure that they were getting at least as much. The baseline was everything they got in 2024. We added a 3% increase for employee wage increases, and then we bumped the fringes to 45%. And so we took care of this to ensure that there would be no layoffs. But despite that, the administration was out telling these folks that there were going to be all these layoffs and folks were going to be let go. And, you know, listen, everybody is sensitive to the human aspect of this. And, you know, no one wants to tell someone that their job, they no longer have a job, things of that nature. But that was never going to be the case.
Hey, Sam, it's Paul Rasmussen. Sorry. I'd like to interrupt you and ask a quick question. You just said something that may be curious. You said that there was about a 3% increase in spending in the budget proposal that you put forward. But how much is this actual budget increasing spending, and was there any cost cutting of any kind?
I saw no cost cutting whatsoever. You know, as a matter of fact, this is a problem. What they did was the administration created new programs that will turn into entitlements. Okay. I mean, look back in 2018, the people in Allegheny County rejected a referendum on children's initiatives. Okay. But yet the county is taking taxpayer dollars and expanding and growing that. You know, she's putting $2 million towards affordable housing. They want to build 24 units to give to 24 folks. Well, that $2 million is actually almost four. Because of the $160 million in the capital budget, they fund that over 30 years. They'll pay $154 million in interest on that. So you're basically doubling that. You know, $2 million for first-time home buyer assistance. Is that really what the people of the county need to be doing?
Well, Sam,
you know, these are nice to have, not need to have.
They got the 10 votes they needed, had to have 10. Mm-hmm. Now that the vote is done, what can you do moving forward to help, you know, cut some of these, or is it too late? Or is there anything you can do to help make some cuts that make sense?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. Okay, one, and I talk about all these people that we saw coming to the meetings and speaking, and then all these emails, they were coming from providers, people who received money from DHS, their employees, again, folks who felt their livelihoods were being threatened. Okay. And again, I thought that that was a cynical ploy. What we are going to do, though, is I'm going to be reaching out, along with other members of council, to the state auditor general's office and requesting that they come in and do a performance audit on DHS, because while we were having these public complaints, we were receiving information from whistleblowers inside who were telling us about the fraud, I don't say fraud, about the abuse and the waste and the things that were taking place. And the problem that we had was we were forced in this short time frame to come up with a budget. We're unable to really dig in and investigate these things. You know, our staff is four people, not the over 6,000 that the county executive's office has. But I can tell you, folks haven't heard the last of this. You know, not because we're looking to cause trouble, but we're looking to deliver accountability to the taxpayers of Allegheny County. It's the very least that they deserve, you know. And again, when you look at this, you know, the county, the administration was selling this is only affecting 4% of people's total tax or property tax bill, because they were incorporating what you pay your school district and your municipality. But unfortunately, as the news shows, those are going up everywhere we turn around as well. So people are going to be hit with significant increases. Just, and these are the people that can least afford it as well. You know, we have a senior population. 20% of Allegheny County's population is 65 or older. Wow. So these are folks on a fixed income. And we're going to jack up their prices and their tax bills. And to take it, and to take it, say, that it's only going to cost $15 a month. You know, I mean, again, that was that's disingenuous. So, you know, you have a talk show host on Odyssey that goes on later in the day that showed that his bill is going to go to like $3,500 a year.
Well, yeah, and then don't the school districts use that as a basis too? And then that's when they jack
they'll use the reassessment, and that's what's going to be coming next.
Oh yeah,
and see, this is what's really disingenuous. This is what's really frustrating. Okay, the administration sold this, or part of the problem for the lack of revenue and the need to raise taxes was the decrease in assessed value of commercial properties downtown.
Right.
But rather than taking and saying, okay, great, I was stuck and handed this mess, rather than taking and accepting responsibility, doing something about it, and trying to move forward with the reassessment to address that, no, they just shift the burden to the on the backs of the homeowners, you know, property owners here in Allegheny County. And that's not fair.
All right. Well, you know, we appreciate your willingness to join us and share your opinion. Thank you, Sam.
You got it. Thanks for having me, Larry. Have a great day.
Sam DeMarco, Allegheny County Councilman, who's been doing this a long time, almost a decade. Coming up 10 till 2, Marty Griffin will talk to Marty in just a few minutes. Marty's wife, Christine Sorensen, KDK TV anchorwoman, is with us every Wednesday at this time to talk about Kidsburg. Christine, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. I know you're mentally preparing for the weekend. We'll talk about for what in just a few minutes. Very exciting. Meanwhile, what's on your list this week?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many incredible things to do around the holidays here. But I wanted to start with two sensory-friendly events, because I know the senses are overloaded during the holidays anyway. So if you have kids with autism or any other sensory issue, this can be an especially difficult time. And on our Kidsburg.org guide of things to do this weekend, we have two really cool events specifically for families of children or adults, for that matter, who have autism or any kind of, you know, sensory challenges. So one of them is this Friday. It's Band Together Autism Friendly Christmas Music Party from 6 to 8. It's at Clubhouse Moondogs in Blahnik's. This Band Together group has all kinds of really fun music events for people on the autism spectrum, and you can see more of those at their website as well. And then Moana 2, of course, such a popular movie, and we don't want families to not be able to go. And so I love that the Lindsay Theater and Cultural Center in Sewickley is hosting a sensory-friendly screening at 9:45 this Saturday morning with discounted tickets. So check out our guide for those.
Oh, that is really kindling it at the box office, Moana 2. So, yeah, a lot of families will take advantage of that. The Lindsay Theater in Oakmont. I know Josh Axelrod there. And then Moondogs in Blahnox. Moondog and John Bento co-created that band together for kids on the autism spectrum. It seems like music is such great therapy, Christine.
Oh, my gosh, it is. And it's such a part of the holidays, too. I just, whenever I start to hear Christmas music, it immediately gets me in the Christmas spirit. So I love that. And then I wanted to share two things that I did over the Thanksgiving holiday because they were so much fun. And I just think that it's something so many other people would enjoy. So one of them is Liberty Magic Theater. Have you been there yet, Larry?
I've been there, and I love it because it's so up close and personal and intimate, and it's awesome.
Yeah, if people have never been, it's kind of hard to imagine. It's really, truly unlike any other theater I've ever been in. It's literally like five rows, maybe 40 to 50 people max. Every seat is a great seat. So you're seeing this magic up close, and it's comedy, too. I mean, you're laughing. You're sitting there with your jaw dropping to the floor because you're like, how did that even happen? I mean, it's all the way home we're talking like, how could that be? I don't understand. It's so cool. We had a great time seeing Nick DeFott. He was amazing. He was in from Las Vegas where he has a regular show at Cirque. But for families, there's a really cool show that happens every Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's just 1 hour. It's specifically for kids. It's called Mr. Macedo's School of Magic for the Young and Young at Heart. And actually, if you want to get your kids super pumped, have them listen to the Kidsburg podcast where we interview Mr. Macedo about his famous rings trick that he is known nationwide for. And he really has some great stories about how he got started in magic. It's a really fantastic. He's just a really fun guy, and I can see why his show would be perfect for kids.
And I saw videos and photos of you, Marty, and the kids at the Phipps Conservatory.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, honestly, there's so many incredible things to do in our area, but on a top five list, maybe top three, I would always say Phipps because it is just so much for the senses. It's beautiful. Excuse me, a little sick here. It's just so gorgeous. The lights, the flowers, all of it cannot be matched. Get your tickets in advance, though, because it is busy. And if you can, try and go on a weekday because you're going to try, you'll be able to beat the crowds a little better.
There you go. Big weekend for Christine and the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm going to be doing a cameo on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Pittsburgh Ballet Theater's Nutcracker opens this Friday at the Benedum Center. And I will say there are so many incredible Nutcracker performances. I love the student ones. I love the, you know, all the different variations that you'll find. The hip-hop one, you name it. But I will say the quintessential professional production in Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh Ballet Theaters. One of my favorites is the winter snow scene because they actually use a backdrop of the point before it was what we think of as the point. So you can see the confluence of rivers, but it's more natural. And it's actually just so beautiful. There's a lot of cool Pittsburgh references and magic. And it's fun because I actually get to see, speaking of magic, I get to see some of the magic, how it happens, because I'm on stage. So that's one of the bonuses of being a cameo in the Nutcracker.
Well, I know as a dancer, you always love this. So break a leg and enjoy this Saturday.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited. There's going to be, you never know who you're going to see in the Nutcracker. It runs for 3 weeks, and there's all kind of surprise cameos, including Charlie Batch, Frizzy, some Dance Mom kids, and other TV folks as well.
Any chance of Marty in a tutu?
Well, believe it or not, I got him in a tutu when we dressed up as ballerinas for Halloween when Sophia was not even one. So it,
wow.
There are photos. There are photos to prove, but I think that may have been a one and done.
Well, go to kidsburg.org for details. Christine Sorensen, thank you. And again, have fun this weekend.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Speaking of Marty, we'll check. Just talk to your bride. Are you going to the Nutcracker Saturday?
Jail or Nutcracker?
That's the question.
I'm not exactly.
866-391-1020.
No, I told her this last night. Jail or Nutcracker?
Oh, man.
Jail. Replace the first word in Nutcracker with ball and then...
Okay.
It's horrible.
I got you. Your wife's going to be in it on Saturday at 2.
Good for her. She's been in like 30 times.
She's really excited about it.
Yes, she is. She's bringing my daughter, Sophia. That's why you have daughters. No disrespect to the Nutcracker, but for a man who's not comatose...
That's very sexist.
Have you been, bro?
Yeah, once.
And?
It was long.
Thank you.
You can only hear that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da so long.
Jesus.
But hey, the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, they...
Oh, stop. Why do you always have to kiss butt? Why? Just tell the truth. Ballet for most men is painful.
Especially if you're up on your toes like that.
My wife watches as much football as I watch ballet. Okay? Let's be fair.
Quid pro quo.
She has COVID, by the way. Yep, she does. Had chills and stuff, and that's why she's home.
You weren't supposed to mention that.
Why?
I don't know.
It's not a big deal, but she's fine, but she has the vaccine and all that stuff. This tax increase. Don't you love how they pulled this off? Hey, we're cool now. It's only 40%. Okay. Woman sends me a text. I cannot pay an extra $700 for my house. Who's going to help me? Who? Sarah. You know? And I thought it was very disingenuous and distasteful and kind of grimy that Bethany Hallam blames all this on Fitz.
Oh.
Backdoor crap. And let me say this about politics. Isn't it funny how all Republicans, including Sam DeMarco, including Kim Ward, they all want this U.S. steel deal. Trump comes out and shoots it down. Not one of them coming out after Trump. Irritates me, Larry.
Nobody on the Republican side is going to say anything.
Why is that,
Larry? Because of the juice he has to, you know.
Destroy them. So the only one out there really fighting, and he's doing it behind the scenes, is the governor. And what he'll do is he'll get, listen to the metaphor, he'll get Biden to give U.S. Steel a last-minute pardon.
Coming up, more on that with Marty Griffin.
You watch.